Media Talks, the podcast that helps to better understand the world of media and video advertising.
Hello and welcome back, Media Talk listeners. I am thrilled to be back and sitting today with our guest, Bea Pearson. She's the co-founder of media agency Picnic. Hello, Bea. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Manuel. Thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you for accepting our invitation. Yeah, I just can't believe we already spring, and that first half of the year just disappeared very quickly. And I feel there's no slowing down in sight, which I guess somehow is probably a good sign that much is happening and changing in the industry. So I'm super excited to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So, Bea, just before we start, for those who do not know you, can you just tell us a little more about you?
Yeah, of course. So, my name's Bea. I work for a startup media agency, Picnic. I've been working in the media industry for nearly 11 years now. And my background, has very much been paid media, but focusing specifically within the AV space. So I think that probably come through in a lot of the content that I'm talking about today, but have a very good understanding of the full media picture as well.
Excellent. Well, first of all, congratulations on the new venture.
Thank you.
And maybe this is probably where we should start. And could you give us a sense of why another agency when we see the sort of current economic climate and when we see so much pressure or amount of pressure that many agencies are currently under. Why making such a move and why? What are you trying to solve for?
It's a good question and a very good place to start. Look, there definitely are a lot of agencies out there and it is definitely a competitive space. But I think we're all seeing some quite big shifts happening in the industry. And I think this creates opportunity for more innovative agencies that are looking to sort of move and adapt with the times. I've been having conversations recently with some of the long established media networks, such as ITV, that have indicated that for the first time ever, they're seeing advertisers shift away from the large network agencies towards independent agencies where clients are receiving maybe more agile, more flexible and innovative support. An example I have of this that experienced firsthand quite recently was Estee Lauder Companies, who left Manning Gottlieb to go to an independent agency model where I think they felt their interests and needs were better met. In regards to what we're solving for, I've worked with a vast array of brands ranging from small new advertisers to probably some of the largest household names. And it's just so clear how every brand has a different requirements, has a different level of understanding and different capabilities. And so we want to make sure that we're offering just a really open, transparent, experience that sort of operates as an extension of an advertiser's, marketing team. We can offer as much support as needed, bespoke to each business, just being as flexible and agile as possible, rather than being based on what works best for us internally.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I think in some way we're trying to, in that sort of transparency and maybe some simplicity as well. I mean, we often talk about how complex the industry is or how complex we are making it and making it very difficult to navigate for the advertisers. So how are you handling this? How are you helping advertisers to sort of better navigate the buying process?
As mentioned, I've been in this industry for quite a long time and I've seen a lot of shifts and changes happen in advertisers having to navigate this space. It's definitely becoming more complex and more confusing. And going back to your point about maybe where, it's not as simple as it could be. And I think this is a lot to do with the language that we use. There are quite a few confusing acronyms we've seen, I think, as the evolution of digital has happened, which has expanded into traditional media. We've just seen there's a lot of opportunity, there's a lot of new platforms and new ways to reach audiences, and it can feel quite daunting for our advertisers. So the way that we're looking to approach this would be, so we're a cross-channel media agency, and our aim is to service clients in all areas of paid media. But the way we would look to do this is to bring in niche specialisms to offer sort of fantastic service levels to brands for, you know, catering to their exact needs without the large overhead of a network agency. So we would look to offer sort of maybe a more streamlined, cost efficient, but very much data led solution. Again, to try and sort of bring this to life a bit, I touched upon Estee Lauder earlier. That was a good example of them going away from a network agency towards a group of niche specialist agencies that would sort of help service their needs. And then also Tinder, another one who launched a holistic awareness campaign at the sort of end of last year, again, using a few niche specialist agencies. And I think this campaign was led with great success.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Very, very good. So yeah, very much on the sort of specialist in their own sort of field. And okay. Yeah. You mentioned earlier how transition of TV to digital. And I'd like to focus maybe on that convergence, which means that TV is increasingly looking more like digital. We talk about all the CTV, but very often we see agencies very siloed and teams, different teams buying, some team buying sort of linear, some team buying digital. We hear of agencies saying that, they kind of cross over or they sort of, they try to bring all this together. But how are you tackling this? Because sometimes I feel that it's not necessarily always the case, and we still see a lot of silos and CTV, we don't really need. Sometimes you sit on the linear, and it's a bit of both, but TV is very much becoming very digital now. How are you sort of tackling this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a very real problem. I mean, last week I was speaking with a digital media specialist who worked at a large FMCG company. He was managing the digital buying, which included connected TV, but was operating independently of the linear TV team. And look, I'm not saying there's no like right or wrong, way to handle it. It's just, I'm just going to share my opinion, which is that TV should be managed as one. So the linear connected TV, things being, adverts being served through a TV screen, content going through a TV screen is, to me, is part of TV, whether you're buying that, digitally or not. The way I would think of a good example of why I think there should be is looking at it from your audience's point of view. So if you speak to people sort of outside the industry, to friends and family, I think what they understand about linear TV and connected TV will be very different. Ultimately, content consumed via a TV screen is probably to them considered TV. And I think it means that they have quite a similar expectation between linear TV and connected TV for the quality, the expectations of the content, of the advertising, as they would on TV. And I think it means that a TV team is better placed to understand how best to plan for TV as a whole, how best to reach your audience, how best to target your audience, how best to understand how they're going to respond in that environment. Again, I think if you were to look at how people engage with digital adverts on a TV screen versus a mobile phone or a clickable device, it is very different, and I think they should be planned and treated differently as a result. I appreciate this is, I'm sorry, there are exceptions.
Nobody, that's a very fair point. I think the TV should be seen as a sort of holistic, and particularly because very often CTV is being used as sort of a rich extension of TV. So if you are sort of have different teams, that makes it very sort of sometimes very complex.
I think one of the times where I see it more and I understand more why it is happening is when advertisers have seen TV as unreachable. The price, the entry point is too hard for them. It's not, it's not for them. And then as the explosion of connected TV happened and it became available across sort of programmatic buys, digital teams would say, oh, well, look, we can get you onto TV and we can plan it programmatically. And that's how I think it would start to evolve in that way. And I understand, it makes sense to me, and I understand that. I think what I would say was that if you are looking to launch onto TV for the first time and connected TV feels like the best route for you based on, potentially limitations within budget, if you can, have a conversation with an agency first who does have a TV specialism. It's not, just a conversation that doesn't cost you anything. And it might help you understand how sort of experience or certain tools might help enhance and inform your planning. ultimately, you know, for a campaign to work really well, it's going to, you know, it should be well thought through. It should have a lot of quality parameters around it. It should have the right audience included. And I think a TV specialist may be better placed to help service that for you versus a digital team. So yeah, my thoughts around that.
Okay. Very fair. From a buy side, well, you talked about programmatic, but from a buy side perspective, what is the most important thing that you like the sell side to solve for? In fact, in some ways, if you had a sort of one wish, what would it be for the sell side to sort of to really work on? Mm. You can say measurement. You could say measurement and maybe go beyond measurement.
Look, measurement is hardly, I think every single person who works in the industry is banging that drum, demanding more. Yeah. Obviously, we have seen, we have seen C-Flight launch this week, their tool for sub-audience reporting, but it only looks at BVOD. It doesn't look at the wider sort of CTV market, and ultimately is probably 10 years too late anyway. And so I think, yeah, we definitely need more innovation in this space, and it probably would be where I would wave my magic wand. I did have a conversation last week with an ACR tech company who were offering solutions to this, and I know that Origins is another, you know, well spoken about offering, but yeah, still very much fragmented, and definitely I think there could be more that could be done. So I think probably me and most of the industry, that would be what our request would be. But to sort of mix things up a bit and to give something else to talk about, another challenge that I have found, and again, I think this is probably felt a lot by people in the industry who have experience within the linear TV side of things. But when you plan for advertisers with linear TV, you optimize a lot towards quality parameters. So this would be things like your share in peak, your number of center breaks, your position in an ad break, and then any particular programming specials that you wanted to align with to sort of help launch your campaign and sort of build fast reach. And it is very difficult to plan towards these metrics within connected TV. So when you're speaking to advertisers who have previously felt like the value of a TV campaign is linked to the premium and quality aspects of it, to then try to shift budgets away into maybe a less less controlled environment where you don't really get the opportunity to optimize towards these metrics, it can feel, there's less control. And I think it can present as a challenge to advertisers.
To advertise on. All right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Better
metrics. And I think there are changes. I know that there's one opportunity with Channel 4 where you can secure a position in break, which has never happened before. And I know that with a couple of sales houses, you can optimize towards a list of programming, but it's very much its infancy. And I think it's almost just more of a, like, they need to just put this infrastructure in place. We know it's possible. So they just need to do it.
That's fair. Yeah. Better sort of a post reporting matrix on those. Yeah. Okay. That's heard well and clear. So what's next? What are your plans for the sort of the year ahead and maybe beyond?
We're a new business, as mentioned, as a startup. Quite a lot of change and opportunity week to week. We've seen an amazing amount of goodwill and support since we launched, almost about 2 months ago now. And I really hope this is a sign of the year to come. But as a startup, I think looking ahead can sometimes feel a bit ambitious. I think if I sort of could create my perfect picture of what my future would look like, I think we would be looking to achieve B Corp status, a portfolio of some progressive, innovative brands. And we would want to be looking at reinvesting any profits that we might achieve into innovating tech and securing the best talent available.
Awesome.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
it's always hard to believe, but that's great. That's a great goal. It's always hard when you just started something that is just like you think about tomorrow first and then sort of longer after. Very good. We are completely, we're already at the end of our almost podcast, but I always tend to finish my podcast with a kind of a more personal questions about, you know, so something that my guests sort of deeply care about. So I just would, you know, if you'd like to share something that you feel sort of very passionate about, very strongly.
Yeah, of course. It's actually unusual to be asked something like this.
Yeah, I know. That's why I do it.
For me, an area that I've become much more aware of quite recently is the lack of support for mothers in our industry. Although I appreciate this is probably prevalent in most areas of business. Our industry's gender pay gap is at 15%, which is much higher than the national average of 12%. And this comes into play around the time women start having children. Up until that point, pay is mostly equal between genders. And I think this sort of indicates that at the point when women become mothers, their value seems to be less and opportunities for growth seem to be less. And I think this further concerns me when you look at entrepreneur data. So only one in three entrepreneurs are women or female. And when you delve into the average age that this that entrepreneurs typically start a business, it is in their 30s, which is around the same time that we see the gender pay gap start to increase. So I think really the bottom line is that there isn't enough support for women in business who want to pursue motherhood as well as professional growth. And I think the numbers that I've shared show it's affecting equality in our industry and of course, stunting women's ability to innovate in business.
That's a very valid point. It's still, I know the gender gap is still a big issue, but that's very fair to say. And I think we need to. I mean, it's getting better. We're not there yet. I think a lot more needs to be done. Thank you for sharing this, B. That's great.
I was just going to say, I think I as a woman who started working in the industry, I'd never massively felt huge amounts of differences, right? You know, I felt like very equal to my male counterparts, and that's why I never really thought about it a huge amount. And it was only really speaking at some women, you know, speaking at International Women's Day, that all these stats sort of came through, and I just hadn't been made aware of it. I think it's because it, you know, up until I've only just started, you know, in my early 30s now, and all these, you know, it's when it's now suddenly changing for women. And so I just wanted to sort of highlight the point.
And I think it's fair. I think maybe that's a very valid point. I think we maybe more should be done, and you know, the sort of discussion and talks about, you know, like a Women International Day or something, so should be we should have more of those to make them very aware, and everyone ultimately. I think it's something that we should all be concerned about. Thank you very much, B. Thank you for taking part. Thank you also to all our listeners. And thank you always for your suggestions, comments, and keep them coming. B, great continuation. Well done again. And we'll probably have you again maybe in a year's time and see how that
See if I achieved all my goals I'm working towards.
Exactly.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's been really great to chat to you and you know, to have you supporting Picnic. We really appreciate it. And yeah, hopefully we'll be here in a year to see how things have gone.
Indeed. Thank you. And thank you all. Until next time, goodbye.
Media Talks, the podcast that helps to better understand the world of media and video advertising.